What it is and what's going on and all the great things about this music making we're about to encounter. Here from the brand new vinyl copy of it is the opening tune.
Lot in life might only be a little, but a little bit might be a pot of gold. And I like the thought of playing second fiddle. I like the view of me and you growing old. I know sometimes, well, it's hard to catch your breath. The beaten path, it seems, has been beat to death. I'll take the exit up ahead towards the distant lights of nowhere. Favorite place just might be my backyard. My favorite faces never make the news. Well, how come the best songs never make the pop charts? I guess $1 million just can't sing the blues. Well, I know sometimes this world's a bit too bright. Sometimes it seems there's not an honest face in sight. Sometimes I lie awake dreaming all night of the distant lights of nowhere. Faith's a bit like walking on the water, and a dream's a bit like walking on the moon, and love is like the flowers that I bought her. She's been sneezing like the devil all afternoon. I know sometimes it's hard to find the words. Sometimes making sense is like a flock of hummingbirds. Some things are better seen, not heard, like the distant lights of nowhere.
The song is called The Distant Lights of Nowhere, and it's from an album called Heroes and Sparrows, and it's all created, sung, and written by famous voice on Spokane Public Radio. Kevin, say hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
There we go.
There's no door opening on the front porch or anything.
Yeah,
right now.
But that certainly is the sound of the Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock when the Front Porch Bluegrass comes on, and Kevin Brown, who's been doing that for what do we say, 15?
18 years
now. Something like that. That lovely lovely program that goes on, and the lovely mentality that we already hear from Kevin, from Kevin's insides. And so congratulations on putting together this album.
Thank you.
First, a few things about you. You were a good, dutiful Whitworth student, and one of the reasons that you even got in the door here was Leonard Oakland.
Yeah,
saying,
Leonard actually
trained
under me and my friend Gino back at the radio station at Whitworth in the early 80s, so... When I moved back to town, I had been hankering to get back into something with radio and contacted Leonard. And so that's, yeah, how I got my foot in the door.
Yeah. Well, where did you grow up?
In Tacoma. But Whitworth has just been a big part of my family. My parents had been there. My mom, grandparents were from Spokane. So this has sort of been home.
And your musical background, what was your first instrument as a little kid?
It was not bluegrass. I actually was kind of a bit of a classical nerd in early grade school.
What was your instrument?
Piano.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as they say, it's awful nice to be able to do something at a keyboard, probably even now when you write tunes, isn't it?
I still think of chords in terms of a piano.
Of course, yeah. No, that's a really... So what caused your conversion, if we can say so?
No, it was very much a religious experience. It was mid-90s, so there's a festival, a bluegrass festival that takes place over on the western side of the state that's become quite big called Wintergrass. And I was living over on that side of the state after college when that started, and somehow just wound up going to this festival. It looked interesting, and I knew David Grisman was the only kind of point I had of bluegrass. And so I had a mandolin that I'd started renting, showed up at this bluegrass festival, and I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. So.
Okay, what about the music spoke to you?
So much community. I mean, this was not a performance festival. Bluegrass festivals are very participatory, and the lines are blurred between performer and audience. So you walk in this, you know, as a hotel, which is not a great bluegrassy place, but every nook and cranny in that hotel was filled with people picking and jamming. And as a beginner, I could kind of come right up and stand on the outside of the circle and play along. And it was just that welcoming environment. So not just listening to the music, but really, you know, a sense that you could dive in and learn this, become a part of it.
And since I'm sure it's become a significant community for you in
yep.
any way, a few parenthetical things that you now have been put in charge of the Blue Waters Bluegrass Festival here in our region, and certainly I know that you've stayed very close to the Wintergrass Festival over there. And so the Distant Lights of Nowhere, who's that lovely violin player?
Natalie Padilla. She is a fiddler from, she actually grew up in Montana, but a young gal lives in Colorado. And she was actually the one on this album that I did not know before recording it. This was a different recording experience, and that I decided to record with Ben Winship, who's the mandolin player and has the recording studio, and he has a wonderful little studio down in Victor, Idaho, on the backside of the Tetons. And in talking about him, I just knew I wanted to do kind of a sparse recording and gather just a couple people together, so I kind of asked him. And we both landed on the same bass player in our conversations, who's Eric Tureen, who's also from Colorado. But he suggested Natalie Padilla, and she was just wonderful to work with on this album. She's a great fiddle player, as well as a banjo player, Clymer banjo and harmonies. And it was just the four of us, and really, you know, we arrived not really knowing each other, and at the end of a few days had made all this music together.
Certainly, and yeah, it's a good way to say it, that you had made that music. So that's one aspect. It's the aspect of playing, of performing it. Then there's the aspect of creating it. So talk about, if we back up even to your conversion into bluegrass, talk about creating your own music.
Yeah, that was a second part of this journey for sure. I did not sing. Singing was something I did to my kids at night and was something I'd never done in public. But being a product of Whitworth and Leonard and others' influence. I'd written a lot over the years, poetry and whatnot, and at some point started writing songs, kind of in the quiet of my own, house where nobody else would hear them. At the point where I took those out and started, performing with Big Red Barn or otherwise, realizing I'm going to have to sing these songs. So that was, a dozen years or so ago. That came to produce my first album of songs, which was back in 2010, an album called The County Primaries. And there were some great people around who encouraged me. Caradwyn was one of them, Caradwyn Spouts, Eugene Jablonski. These were people that I'd played with and was around, and they encouraged me and said, these are good songs, you should record these. So that started that, and here I am four albums later.
Yeah, and the whole album is your song.
Yeah, all four albums have been. So that's the vehicle for this. It's the songwriting that's a big part of me, and that was sort of the second awakening after bluegrass was the songwriting.
Sure. And so I know there's no one answer for this, but what's the first moment of a song? What's that first spark that becomes a song?
It's funny how often that question is asked and how hard it is to answer. I heard somebody say once, he said, is it the music or the lyrics that come first? And they said, it's the inspiration. Mm-hmm. So it could be either, and that's played true for me. Mm-hmm. And I also there's a quote from Stephen King, the writer, who said that writing is not invention, it's archaeology. You sort of discover something sticking up out of the sand and you uncover it, and that's been my experience as I've grown as a songwriter, as you find something and uncover it and see what it's about and where it's going to lead you, musically or lyrically.
Take us into the next song, the beginning of Side 2. By the way, we can say Side 2 because this exists both on CD and LP, but we're playing from the LP for good old-fashioned reasons, back when we were heroes.
Yeah, so this, this very much relates to the album cover, which we can't see here, but there's a picture of a little sparrow with a flower in its mouth, and it was handmade by my niece. We kind of talked about this idea for a cover largely out of this song. This song is, I'm still not sure how quite to explain it, but it's largely born out of our times right now, things that are in the news and kind of this loss of innocence, maybe societally, with certain things we see in the news. But it never, again, sticking out of the sand, it never felt like this was a protest song or anything with any kind of message other than just an expression of some childlike loss of innocence and sadness maybe about some things. But musically, there was this really cool moment that happened during this. So both Eric Tureen, who's the bass player, and Natalie, who plays fiddle, the two of them, I knew there was an instrumental section in the middle of this song that felt very different than what I'm used to in bluegrass. I knew it wasn't going to be an improvisational part of the song, but it needed to be something kind of worked up. And I could sort of smell it, but I didn't really know, what it was. And so I talked to them about this during the recording, and they both just looked at me and said, okay, we've got this, we know. And they went off into the piano with their note paper, writing out notes and everything, and come back an hour and a half later with this composed section that's a string section in the middle. And I was just weeping the first time I heard it. It was so beautiful and such a fun thing to have them, bring themselves into this recording and kind of get what this song was about and offer something to it. So
from we're about to hear Back When We Were Heroes, so A, pay good attention to the words and the song itself, and B, revel in the instrumental break in the middle.
Back when we were heroes, back when we were true, bold as lightning, me and you. Capes across our shoulders, dragons in our dreams. Well, these are hard times for heroes, it seems. I never told you, but I can fly. The first time took me by surprise. Sometimes I leave my rest and rise high above these rolling hills, the golden fields of yesterday. Heroes fly, sparrows fall, heaven watches all. Sparrows, you and I were small, perched out by the schoolyard wall. The shadow was approaching, the story came undone. Was the eye that's on the sparrow watching the gun? Oh, how could we ever know the wire that trips inside a mind? Cries echoed all around. I fell to the ground, and so I must go off into the blue. Heroes fall, sparrows fly, heaven must know why. Read about it in the morning news. Talk about it for a day or two. Numb and confused, wondering what can we ever do? Back when we were heroes, back when we were true, back before we ever knew. The lilies and the sparrows are in our charge, it seems. Well, these are hard times for heroes. Hard times for heroes, hard times for heroes.
That was the song, Back When We Were Heroes. Happens to be the beginning of the second side of this LP version of Kevin Brown's new album, Heroes and Sparrows, appropriately enough for the images that are in there. And Kevin Brown, who wrote it, who sang it, who put it together with the help of these friends, Ben Winship, Natalie Ray Padilla, and Eric Thorin. And Kevin, You've birthed this whole thing. It's been a big long process, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And so therefore you're going to kind of have a couple christening parties coming along.
Yeah, I'm very excited. At the end of the recording, which we did last April, at the end of that session, we got our calendars out because I said I would love to do a weekend of shows with these folks. They're busy musicians, and they live a ways away, Colorado and southern Idaho. But we figured out a weekend in October, so it was nice to have some leisurely time to actually release the album and get the vinyl printed. So they'll be here this weekend, and we'll have world tour of three shows.
Let me mention, because Friday at the Bartlett, and so that's kind of a real kind of going home feeling that's going to be the Bartlett, which is on its finale tour over the next few weeks on Sprague. And so that great opportunity to hear them. And then Saturday at DeLuna's in Sandpoint, which certainly provide, they are a focal point of a lot of music that goes along there. Then Sunday, you're taking it over to your birthplace and to the Wintergrass site.
Exactly.
Right?
Actually, the venue we're playing in Tacoma was one of the first. It's a church in downtown Tacoma, but people have referred to it as the Mini Ryman Auditorium because it's this old church with great acoustics, and Wintergrass used to be there. So, yeah, double homecoming of both Wintergrass and Tacoma for me.
Yeah, what's the name of the church?
Urban Grace, the downtown church.
Urban Grace, yeah. And so that will be on Sunday at Tacoma for this album that Kevin has put together. So thank you for creating it, because it's I can attest that I've heard some of the other pieces, and it all has that sense of gentleness about it, or that sense of not that it's all of the same mood, but you guys clearly were in a zone of making beautiful music when you did it, weren't you?
It was a wonderful experience, yeah. And it's not your full throttle freight train bluegrass.
Yeah, that's right. You can get some of that on Sunday at 1 o'clock, but you can get some of this too, and some of the various.
There will be a few little moments in the shows this weekend, though. We'll turn these guys loose to play some of that. So
that'll be nice. Okay, thanks a lot, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
And so that's that new album from Kevin. It's called Heroes and Sparrows. It's on CD and LP, and we didn't really have time to talk about why we did that, so we'll ask him next time.